Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fellowship hour today and for all the, your people that are here right now and those that may still join and even those that may listen to the replays later on. As always, we know the entrance of your light. I mean, your word brings light and gives understanding. Well, let that light shine in our hearts today, bringing revelation knowledge. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, today we want to talk about the name of the Lord and his reputation. So during the series of the keys of the kingdom, I mentioned that, well, the reputation of the king is at stake. And it's measured by the welfare and the state of the citizens of that kingdom. I want to develop that thought a little bit today around this topic. What is a name? I mean, let's start right there. Let's just generically, what's a name? Huh? A name is, you know, something by which a person, a place, or a thing, or whatever is known, called or referred to, etc. You know, so, but I want to focus on two aspects of that, the definition. The definition is actually a bit broader than that, but I want to focus on what you are called and how you are known, you know, and then we'll, you know, bring it in the perspective of the Lord, you know, so. The name, and a name can be something that a thing, a place, a person, an object, or whatever, you know, how that thing is called, how it is known, how it is described, how it is referred to, and so on. Now, right away, we see in the beginning, and before I even get there, let me just read two verses here out of Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verses 1 and 9. How excellent, glory to God, is thy name, O Lord, in all the earth. Now let that sink in for a minute. I mean, we, you know, we sing even that song, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, you know, and so forth. But maybe we've never really thought about it in this perspective that we are going to discuss today. You know, how excellent, O Lord, our Lord, is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So that is verse 1 and verse 9 of the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Praise the Lord. How excellent is thy name? I mean, how can a name be excellent? Well, we'll get into it a little bit today. Let's see what the Lord himself says and how he charges us about his name. Well, you heard me declare many times in this room how that the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord, proclaimed his own name when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, well, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. You know, this conversation between Moses and the Lord happened in chapter 33 of Exodus. And in the next chapter, chapter 34, we see that the Lord actually passed before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So Exodus 34 and verse 6, and the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed Remember, he said he will proclaim his own name. Well, in fact, let me start at verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So this is the Lord proclaiming his own name. It's not what anybody said about him. This is what he says about himself. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. So we see the Lord, you know, putting himself out there, you know, describing his own attributes and so on. And Moses would use this, you know, I don't want to say against the Lord, but he will use this, confront the Lord a bit later on. And we'll see that in this lesson. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, when the Lord gave Moses the tablets of the commandments and gave commandments to the people and etc., you know, here's what the Lord said about his name. Exodus 20 and verse 7. You know, these are the so-called Ten Commandments. In fact, let me start from the beginning of Exodus 20 so we can see what the Lord said. Lord spake unto him these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, that's right there. First one, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and unto the third and fourth generation, as a warning of them that hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, verse 7, this is where I'm going here. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, take the name of the Lord in vain? I mean, why is the name of the Lord so important to the Lord that is? He's telling us here not to take his name in vain, and how that he will not hold anyone guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Okay. And then he goes on to the rest of the other commandments. Well, fast forward to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses was, you know, recounting all of these things that the Lord told him. And he says the same thing again. You know, he begins to talk about, you know, Deuteronomy is basically a more verbose exposition of all the things that they already encountered with the law, and the Lord already said to them. You know, he goes into greater detail here. You know, so in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11 says, you know, pretty much the same thing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's Moses going over the commandments for them again. Well, we're going to be talking about the name of the Lord. That's the title of this lesson today. And his reputation. Remember the definition we gave about a name. It's something that you, a person, a place, a thing, or whatever is called or known by or described, or how it's described or how it's referred to. So the name of the Lord. What is his name really? I mean, Jesus, when he was praying, I mean, teaching his disciples to pray, he said, well, this is how you should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you know that among other things, that's how you come to the Lord hallow that name, reverence that name, and so on and so forth. You know, and, but, you know, we fast forward to John chapter 17. Now, stay with me here, because the real revelation of what we are going to do today is coming in a few minutes. I'm just laying a background. You know, in John chapter 17, I mean, Jesus was praying this powerful prayer, you know, to about these people, you know, talking to the Father. He's about to leave and so on and so forth, you know. And now he says, well, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. You know, and those whom you have given me, I have kept, and I have lost none of them. You know, and so forth. He goes on also to say that, you know, I am praying for them, and so on and so forth. You know, I have declared unto them thy name in verse 26. I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. You know, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to talk about this a little bit. I have declared unto them thy name. Well, I've searched the Gospels, and I'm not entirely sure where Jesus at one time said, well, I'm declaring to you the name of the Lord. You know, but he's saying here, I have declared unto them your name. Well, you know, and when we search the scriptures, search the gospels, you know, I don't know that I have found a place where Jesus point blank says, I'm declaring to you the name of the Father. You know, however, all of these things that he was doing, showing us that he's representing the Father and always pointing to the Father and so forth, you might conclude that he's, in a way, declaring the name of the Father is basically, in a way, you know, helping us to relate to him. Here's a powerful prayer that he prayed in verse 11 of this John 17. He said, look, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me. Keep through thy own name. Why would, you know, the name? Why is he praying this kind of prayer? We also see that the Lord would say many things sometimes, you know, like, you know, I, I'm he that blotted out your transgressions for my own name's sake. He would say things like that. You know, I mean, what is it? What is in his name? I mean, why would he say things like, for my own name's sake? You know, so that's the thing that I want to bring out here today. You know, so we're taking it slow, you know, but many times he said it, for my own sake, I will do it. You know, for how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. That's Isaiah 48 verse 11. Now, this is a powerful thing that he's saying here. For my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? So we see that the name here is more or less like, you know, a reputation. How he's known. You know, and he said, look, I'm not going to give my glory to another. This is Isaiah 48 verse 11. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, he says, I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own, you know. I mean, why does he say these things? For my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Why does he say that? Isaiah 48 verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee that I caught thee not of. I mean, if you read this text carefully, he's putting his reputation at stake. When he's talking about name here and namesake, he's talking about his reputation, how he is known, not just what he is called. Sometimes even what a person is called is a reflection of how they are known. You know, somebody might call him the president. they may not, that's not his name, you know, but he's the president. Somebody might call him, you know, the fastest man upon the earth because he won the sprint race, maybe in the 100 men's, 100 meters men's race, he won the gold. I call him the fastest man. And when they think of him, they'll think of him like that. Someone may call him, you know, whatever. Call somebody that. You know, they begin to, you know, use those names and those attributes. It's like a reputation, how a person is known. There's also such a thing that's called a name brand. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. And also a thing when it's called, when you know, people use this word name, it will still, this thing become a household name all over the place. Everybody knows this thing, you know. Then there are name brands, you know, name brand. Name brand may be something of a, you know, a popular product that is, that has gained acclaim worldwide, you know, or global, or far-reaching acclaim. And many people know about that. In fact, some people will only buy name brand product. And women love name brand products. They love those name bags, name brand bags, name brand cosmetics, name brand anything, you know. So it's a name brand. What's in the name? You know, and then what those name brands do, they actually have a trademark and it's protected because they don't want anybody just, you know, use it anyhow. You know, and then they say, the Lord also said, and Lord's putting, you know, trademark on his name here, and he doesn't want anybody to use it anyhow by saying, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Because the Lord would not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's see an exchange. As I go into these next stories, this thing will begin to come out more. Let's see an exchange in Numbers 14 between Moses and the Lord. Now, Numbers 14, 13 and 14 story, we have covered many times on this platform. How that Moses sent the spies to go and check out the so-called land that flowing with milk and honey, and many of them came back with an evil report. We covered that multiple times, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, here is something that happened between the Lord and Moses. When the Lord had it up to here, you know, with these people, you know, and he was so angry against them that he said, look, I'm going to destroy them and I will make you, Moses, a great nation instead of them. Here's an exchange that happened between Moses and the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Numbers 14 and verse 11, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs that I've showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and I will disinherit them. Now, the pestilence is one thing. They may recover from the pestilence, but disinheriting, they can't recover from that one. You know, he said, I will disinherit them. My goodness, they cannot recover from that. And then he said, well, I'll make you a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, now let's unpack this conversation between Moses and the Lord. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up these people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. For they have heard before that the Lord is among his people. And that the Lord was seen face to face. And your cloud stood above them. You know, and you go before them in the daytime by pillar of cloud, in the nighttime by pillar of fire. I mean, people have heard all these things that you do among your people. Now, if you turn around and kill these people as one man, then all the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let thy power of the Lord my God be great, according to that which you've spoken. For the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. And he quoted this thing that the Lord told him before. Forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon... We know that the Lord is such. However, I pray that you pardon these people their iniquity, according to the greatness of your mercy, even as you have forgiven them from the time of Egypt until now. Now, this is putting pressure on the Lord's reputation. He said, your reputation is that you are a mighty God in the midst of these people. Your reputation is about all the renown that you got in Egypt. Everybody, all these nations have heard about it. How you did great signs and wonders. How you brought your people out with a mighty hand. People have heard about the things you did even at the Red Sea. You know how you split the Red Sea for your people to go across, and you destroy Pharaoh and all his armies in the Red Sea, and all the kingdoms of the world, of the nations, they tremble because of you. Because they know their God, and they fear the people of Israel because they know their God is among them. You know, I mean, and he begin to put pressure on the Lord's name. Begin to put pressure on the Lord's reputation. He begins to put pressure on how the Lord is known. And he say, this is how you are known. You know, let me remind you, this is how you are known everywhere. Now, if you turn around now and destroy these people, how then will you be known? And so you see how he's putting pressure on the Lord's name, putting pressure on the Lord's reputation. And when he put it like that, the Lord said, wow, you know, and the Lord, he turned aside from the evil that he intended to do to those people. And like I said, it wasn't just the pestilence. It was the, you know, I will disinherit them. They will no longer be my people. And I will no longer be their God. My goodness. You know. So anyway, the Lord said, well, you know, I will, you know, I won't do that. But, you know, as long as I leave these ones, you know, I'm going to deal with them. And all the earth shall be filled with my... And the Lord is reminding Moses that, look, yes, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. My reputation will be intact. Glory to God. It's all about, this conversation is all about God's reputation. How God is held in renown. And, you know, Moses reminding the Lord, and the Lord confirming that, yes, as truly as I live, according to verse 21 of Numbers 14, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Indeed, my reputation will be there. You know, if my reputation is going to stay intact, you know. Now, so Moses put pressure on the Lord, and the Lord responded. Now, let's put that in mind. You know, remember, we've been talking the last few days about the kingdom. And, you know, since we are his citizens, and he is the king, you know, and his name, you know, and his reputation, you know, is measured by the state and welfare of his citizens, then when you face situations, you can put pressure on the Lord. You say, look, your name is at stake here. That's exactly what Hezekiah did. Now, this Sennacherib who has come to chide the Lord and so forth, yeah, they indeed, you know, they have thrown, you know, the Assyrians and all these people, they have thrown the nations, their gods, they have thrown them into their fire. You know, they've destroyed them all. Because those people, they were worshipping gods made with hands and stones and things. They were no gods. They cast them into the fire. Of a truth, they did that. But he said, look, but you are the living God. You are the one that dwell between the cherubims. Hallelujah. And he began to call the Lord up. He said, look, now, Lord, save us from his hand. And I said this the other day also. And the prayer wasn't save us from his hand. You know, that we may not be destroyed. You know, that our posterity may not be vanquished. That our women may not become widows. That our children may not become fatherless. That our land may not be destroyed. You know, yeah, all those things. But that's not how he prayed. Save us, O Lord, from his hand. That all the kingdoms of the world may know. See, this is all about his name. When you make it like that about his name, do this thing, Lord, that all the people see. I've already talked about you. People already know, you know, what I've said. So shall make her boast in the Lord. The psalmist said, they already know that. Nehemiah, all these people boasted that their God will be with them. You know, so he said, well, I'm not even going to go back and ask for a band of soldiers because I already boasted that the Lord will be with us. Now, God, do this thing. You know, and you put pressure on his name and his reputation. It's amazing. Let's read a few more things about name and reputation. In the book of Joshua chapter 9. You know, let's see how God's reputation and his renown back in the day, you know, what he did. So, you know, when Joshua went to, in this story, he went to Gilgal. And then, you know, some of the people came to the camp and they spoke to him. He said, look, we are come from a far country. Now, this is Joshua chapter 9 and verse 6. We have come from a far country to make a league. And we want you to make a league with us. And all the men of Israel said, well, how should we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, look, we are your servants. And Joshua asked them, who are you? And where did you come from? And listen to what they said. And they said unto him, Joshua chapter 9 and verse 9, we are come from a very far country. We know, you know, sometimes they use trickery there. We are come from a very far country. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Now, so name, what I'm bringing out in today's lesson is name is not just some attribute by what somebody is called. Name here is even his reputation. You know, that we've heard of his name. Nobody is saying an actual name, what the name is, but they are talking more about the acts that he did. And that's been attributed to his name. So it's more about his reputation. We've heard of the name of the Lord thy God. We've heard of his fame, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, you know, Sihon and Og and all of these things, you know. And so we have come and we've brought presents and everything, you know, to try to make a league with you and so on and so forth. So, they said, we've heard of his fame. We've heard of his reputation. And the Lord even, you know, here's what God said, you know, even through Moses to Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, where he was talking about, behold, I set before you today a curse and blessings if you do this and obey the voice of the Lord. Here are the blessings. If you don't, here are the curses. Well, the first 14 verses where he's talking about all the blessings. If you obey, if you indeed obey the voice of the Lord, here's what he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 10. It says, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. You know, so the name of the Lord upon you brings even fear upon the people around you, is what God is saying, because of the reputation that goes with that name. He had a name, you know, and even people, you know, people in the gang world, they use the same thing, you know, people who are, the gang leaders, you know, the serious ones, their family, they're from the family of the mafia or any of these, you know, great, terrible gang leaders that we heard about. I mean, just to hear their name alone bring fear in certain areas. And people have heard their reputation, you know, and people are afraid because of the reputation that goes with that name. But what about the name of the Lord? And what about his reputation? Well, let's take a look about some more things here. That the Lord, you know, this was what he said about Israel. What about David? How did David make himself a name? So I want to talk, I'm still bringing out this thing about name. In 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 13. This is how David made himself a name. He said, and David got him a name. He already had a name. It wasn't, you know, it's not that his name David was given to him at birth. So what he's talking about here is not the name David, but he's talking about a reputation. David got him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians, the Valley of Salt. You know, he smote 18,000 men. He got a name also, what he did with Goliath. People began, the ladies began to sing about him. I mean, he got a name by virtue of the things he did. So, David got a name, not the name David, he already had that. But the use of name here is he made a reputation. He got renown. This is really what, you know, we're talking about here. In the book of Psalm 145. Let's read verses 10 to 13. Psalm 145. You can read this whole psalm. I love this whole psalm. But, you know, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it. You know, just a few verses there. Psalm 145. Let's pick it up at verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. I'm talking about, remember the last few days we've been talking about kingdom. The glory of his kingdom is the reputation of that kingdom. They talk of thy power. Why? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom, O Lord, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. These verses here are talking about the renown that goes with that kingdom. And people hear about it, my goodness, you know, then they, you know, should tremble. Praise God. You know, the devils also know his name and they tremble because they know his power, but they try to prevent the people from knowing what they know that makes them tremble. You know, that's the game plan. They know the power of the Lord. I mean, demons used to cry out when they saw Jesus. Thou son of God, are you come to torment us? Are you come to do this before the time? They be crying out. And they're scared, you know, where they are. I mean, it's like they're inside a man, demon possessed, but yet they are scared just because they see Jesus coming. And they say, you know, and they begin to beg him, don't cast us out, you know, this and that. And Jesus said, be quiet. hold your peace and get out of there. Come out of there. And sometimes he sent them into, the pigs and things like that. But, see, when they saw him, my goodness, the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva that tried to cast out devils by saying, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him and so on. And the man with the devil says, well, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are ye? So you can see that the reputation of Jesus, reputation of Paul, they knew. You can read that story in Acts chapter 19. You see they, from maybe verse 14 to 16 or something like that. The seven sons of Sceva, they tried to do exorcism. They tried to cast somebody out. Cast devils out of somebody, and so on. And they said, come out of him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the devils answered back and said, we know the reputation of Jesus. We know the reputation of Paul. But who are you? so this stuff here is powerful. Listen to Proverbs 22 verse 1 and Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name. Well, how can a name, David, Jones, Mary, John, be good? Well, it's talking about reputation. A good name is to be preferred even above gold and silver and so on. Proverbs 22 verse 1. The same thing pretty much in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. So when you use, when we're talking about name here, a good name is better than precious ointment. We're not talking about just the verb, or the noun, the name, whether it's called John or Jones or Mary or David or whatever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what is behind that name. And the Lord had made a name for himself. So that's like a name brand. What he did, he said, look, I raised up Pharaoh that I might show in him my power. The Lord made a name brand for himself through the things he did in Egypt and put fear among all the nations. Say, don't mess with Israel because their God did great wonders in Egypt. Got him great renown. So now that is kind of that's the lesson behind the approach, the perspective that I'm bringing about a name today. Not just, the name given to a person at birth by their parents. Not just the name given to a thing by society or the culture, but more than that, a name representing reputation. We have, Bible says we're surrounded by a cloud, a great cloud of witnesses. What do they do? What do the 24 elders in heaven do? Why are they there? Why do we need them there? Well, they're a cloud of witnesses, to attest to the name of the Lord. How great the Lord is. Now, bringing this around to the lesson that we covered the last few days about kingdom, knowing that the name of the king, who is the Lord, is behind the kingdom, and his name, say, those that are named by the name of the Lord, say, a person will name himself by the name of the Lord, another will subscribe himself by the name of Jacob, or whatever. When you are named by the name of the Lord, it's like a branding. Farmers who brand their cattle, and so forth. Cattle ranchers who brand their cattle. Well, the Lord branding his own too by his name, giving us the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like laying claim to that, but it also goes the other way. we can also lay claim to the name and say, we are called by your name. You were called by your name. Children, the children of Israel used to do that. You know, David used to know how to pray by saying, look, we are called by your name. Well, if we are called by your name, then, hey, Lord, your name is at stake here. Praise God. You know, so that's the lesson I want to bring out today. Let's begin to approach our relationship and our walking with God in this, with this understanding. We are called by his name, and his name is at stake, and he has a reputation to protect, you know, and, you know, all you got to do is just remind him. Now, God didn't forget, but he always asks us to remind him. You know, you say, God say we should remind him. Well, absolutely. He tells us all the time, you know, let us plead together, you know, bring your strong cause, declare it again before me that thou mightest be justified. He says these things, you know, to us all the time. But he wants, it's not that he forgets, but he wants us to remind him. And, you know, so this is the thing that God wants us to do. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Put me in remembrance. It's not that, it's not because, I mean, basically he's saying remind him. It's not that he forgot, but he wants you to remind him. Tell him, challenge him basically. Let us plead together. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. Declare to me my name again. And Jesus himself, the prophecy said concerning Jesus, say, I will declare thy name among my brethren. And Jesus came, he said, well, I've declared to them thy name. He wasn't really spelling out the name Yahweh, which they couldn't pronounce. And he wasn't really spelling out the name Jehovah or anything. But basically, he was showing, you know, the character of God and what's in their kingdom. That's what he was doing. And he said, I've declared thy name. Now, today we have his name. We are in his kingdom. And his name is over the kingdom. Thy banner over me is love. Well, his name is a banner that is over us, carrying his name. And so when we pray, when we walk, when we talk, when we do anything, let that be in, let this mind be in you, knowing that you are named by the name of the Lord, and that the Lord's name and his reputation, now this time around when you think of name, think of his reputation. That's why he said, do not take the name of thy Lord, thy God, in vain. Because the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Because this is how God measures even his own himself. This is how the people of the world know him. And don't trifle with that name. Because that's how he is known. That's how he's revered. You know, that's how people fear him. You know, because of his reputation, because of how he is known. You say, ah, that person, that's your God. Don't mess with them. You know, and so, you know, even after they've seen deliverance, after Darius, the king, had seen God's deliverance in the life of Daniel, he come out with a proclamation and said, look, I proclaim throughout all my kingdoms and everywhere that the name of this God of this Daniel be held in reverence everywhere. Glory to God. And he said, look, I don't want anybody in all of my dominion, wherever they are, you know, to do despite to this name. They must tremble and they must fear before the God of Daniel. Well, he's a living God, you know, and his dominion is steadfast and forever. And that which shall not be destroyed. I begin to declare it because they've seen his power. They've seen how he delivered. So really, that's what we must show to the world. We have to show that in this kingdom, that's why Jesus healed the sick. These are how we do. When you see the sick, you heal them, you know, and you show them what God can do. You know, raise the dead even. Because nobody else can do that. So when you do that, I mean, when they were questioning with Jesus, he said, look, if I have not done among you the things which nobody else did, then you don't need to believe. But If I have done those things which nobody else did or can do, then if you don't believe me, the works will judge you. You know, even when John was in prison, and John was getting a little bit, probably in the human mind, frustrated. But John was the one that announced the coming of the Christ. He knew who he was. But now he's sitting in prison, you know, and Jesus is his cousin too, right? Sitting in prison, Jesus doesn't come there to bail him out. So now he's thinking, well, he's, you know, sent some, a couple of disciples, you know, maybe they came to him or visit him during the visiting hour. And they said, look, go and check him out and ask him, are you the one that we are waiting for? Or should we look for another? You already know he's the one he's waiting for. You are the one that introduced him. You already saw the Spirit descending upon him and God saying, whosoever the Spirit would descend upon, that's the guy. And you already introduced him as the Lamb of God. Why are you asking these questions? But Jesus, you know, he said, okay. Instead of just answering the question, yes or no, he said, you know, in that same hour, he healed the sick, he did all these things, walked all the miracles that were said, opened the eyes of the blind, did all these things that Isaiah talked about him. He said, well, you go tell John the things that you've seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, all these things that happen, and so forth. You know, that's his reputation. That's his trademark. This is what he said he would do. And when he did it, but then he dropped a note here. I said, well, but blessed is the man who's not offended in me. Why did he say that? Well, maybe at that time, John was being offended that the man did not come and release him from prison. But they're always thinking that Jesus would do something different than what Jesus wants to do. You know, so blessed is the man who's not offended in me. But how did Jesus answer the question? He said, well, look at all these things that I'm doing. And then you decide. You know, so, you know, the same thing when, you know, Philip was asking, look, show us the Father already. All this thing about the Father and so on and so on. I mean, it's just mystery. Enough already. Show us the Father and be sufficient to him. Jesus said, look, I've been with you all this time and yet you don't know me, Philip. I mean, if you don't believe me, believe for the work's sake. So the works that God does put a reputation on his name and it makes his name a brand name. And did you know that the name of Jesus is a name brand all over the world? Hallelujah. Jesus has got it. God gave him a name that's highly exalted. And not only that, his name is in acclaim, both among his believers and even among the people that hate him. You know, they fear that name. Devils fear that name and tremble. Hallelujah. You know, so his name is known. It's a reputation that goes behind that name. When you hear that name, people tremble. Devils even tremble. So we use that name. But for us, we kick it into another kind of gear of understanding to use that name in a different way now. You know, we've all known how to use the name to pray against sickness, pray against this, pray against that. We know that already. But I'm challenging us today to use that name in everything that we do to put pressure, if I can use that word, put pressure on the Lord for his own reputation. Because reputation is at stake. Moses knew how to do it. Ezekiah knew how to do it. David knew how to do it. He was always telling God, look, you are the one that caught, you know, I mean, that did all these things and so on and so forth. You know, people knew how to do it. You know, many of the prophets, they knew how to do it. You wounded the dragon, you caught Rahab, you did this and you did that, you dried up the Red Sea. They knew how to put pressure on him. These are the ways by which the world already knows you. So, you know, we got to maintain that standard. We can't let anything fall short, which is why the Bible says we are epistles read of all men. Let's not be the one that brings disdain to the name of the Lord. If the name of the Lord is upon you, and now you are found associated with the thing that brings disgrace to the name of the Lord, you've taken the name of the Lord in vain. You know, well, there's a lot more to that. People say, you know, when they just use the name of the Lord carelessly in a speech, instead of saying, oh my goodness, when they say, oh my God, oh this and that, and they use the name of Jesus to swear and all of that, people say they are taking the name of God. Yes, they are. But for us, taking the name of the Lord in vain is even more than that. When we do not accurately represent that name, you know, when we don't represent that name, or we misrepresent the name, you know, I mean, it's also like saying, thus saith the Lord when the Lord has not said. That's a great one for taking the name of the Lord in vain. Or, you know, we do not, you know, appropriate that name. You know, it's kind of like Paul writing and saying, look, because you have not discerned the body of the Lord, that's why many are sick and many die. Well, because you have not discerned the name of the Lord, is what I'm talking about today, because we are not using it in the right way, that's why many things are not working right. You know, from now on, you know, let's lift up our heads, stick out your chest, and say, hey, you know, my God, he will fight for himself. Not necessarily he will fight for me, but he will fight for himself. His name is at stake here. You know, so while he's fighting for himself, I'm the beneficiary. You know, but when I'm praying to him about the situation, you know, I'm making it sound like he's got to do something because his name is at stake. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to leave it there, you know, and let the Holy Spirit expand it to us all. Here's a summary of what I'm saying today. A name is more than just something that somebody is giving at birth, you know, to be called. It is also how they are known. It's how they are referred to. It's also, it carries a reputation. You know, and you can actually form a name brand around something that has a great reputation. Products, you know, merchandise that people buy, expensive stuff over the years that have great quality and that, you know, people like, become a name brand. You know, and what is the name brand in the kingdom of God? Well, it's called Jesus the Christ. That's the name brand, because he's the king of all of us who are also kings in his kingdom. So they call him King of Kings. He's the Lord of all of us who are also lords in his kingdom. That's why they call him Lord of Lords. And then we begin to represent him appropriately, knowing that his name is at stake. Praise the Lord. That's what the ambassador does. Ambassador doesn't worry. Ambassador doesn't need to fight any fight. In any country where he is, he doesn't need to carry a gun. What is he going to use it for? He's got the ambassador of the United States in a country like Nigeria. He doesn't need to go around with any guns. You know, he's got the backing of the whole United States around him. You better don't mess with him. Praise God. You mess with him, you bring the incur, you're going to incur the wrath of the great United States. Well, that's the same thing. The devil mess with you because you're an ambassador. The world mess with you. They are going to incur the wrath of the kingdom of God. And that's why you better pray for them. God should have mercy upon them. That's why I said, just pray for them. Because if you don't, and heaven turns his wrath, the wrath loose upon them, they are finished. You know, but God wants to have mercy upon them. So that's why I tell you to pray for your enemies. But you see, you know, you are in a position where the Bible says, the apple of my eye, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of my eye. You know, that's like that. You know, anything that touches you is going to incur the wrath of Almighty God. His name is at stake. Hallelujah. I'm going to use that name right now. I'm going to challenge that name right now over the people that are in the room. you are here right now, or you may be listening to the replay, let's challenge that name, you know, as an end sign over your life. Father, I pray, even as Jesus said, I have declared unto them thy name. Holy Father, keep through thy own name and for thy own name's sake those whom you have delivered unto me, Jesus said. Now, Father, I pray also for thy own name's sake, by the which everyone that is in this room is named by your name. And if you are not yet named by the name of the Lord, we invite you. But for those who are named by the name of the Lord, Holy Father, keep them through thy own name. And should there be any situation that they are up against, remember, Lord, how that your name is at stake. Remember that it's your reputation here that's at stake, not ours. We do not have a name like you, but you have made yourself a name. You have got yourself renowned, even from the days of Egypt and in the days of Pharaoh. How by a great and mighty hand you brought out your people, and you showed great signs and wonders. And till this day, you have done signs and wonders. The nations of the world know your name. And now we are called by your name. Therefore, Lord, remember, your name is at stake. If you do nothing and situation goes worse, then the people are going to look narrowly, not only upon us, but upon your name. So we are called by your name. Therefore, let the Lord be jealous, sir, for his name. Let him arise as a man that's woken out of, as a lion. Glory to God. Let him bestir himself. Hallelujah. Let him be jealous for his name over all his people. Now, over everyone that's in this room today, over Ebon, over Lola, over Alexis, over Titi Lyle, over Elisha, over Grace, over Mary, over Elaine, over Prem, over Pearl, over Chioma, over Raphael, over Joshua, over Kerry, over Harold, over OK, and over anybody else that has been in the room or may have dropped and maybe coming to listen later on. And some of our usuals that are not here, over Julia, over Veronica, over all these people that are usually here but not here, over Christy, over Victoria, over all these other people, Emilia, Gift, all of them. Every one of you that are usually attended these rooms, the Lord be jealous for his name over you. Hallelujah. And know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is him that made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his citizens in his kingdom. And his name is at stake. The passport of heaven which we carry belongs to him. And he is the one that will defend his own name. Even as the Lord said, I will defend this city. Said that to Hezekiah. I will defend this city for my own name's sake. And in one night, 185,000 were slain of their enemies. Glory to God. Because Hezekiah made it about God defending his name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Whether it's sickness, whether it's a bad report of a health situation, whatever it is, the name of the Lord is at stake. And Lord, we put pressure on you right now, just like Moses put pressure on the Lord. If the Lord, if you do this thing, you disinherit these people, you destroy them. Or if you do not arise in this situation and deal quickly with this disease or whatever it is that's going on in the lives of your people, you know, then the people begin to look narrowly upon them who are citizens of your kingdom. And remember, reputation of the kingdom, Lord, is measured by the state and welfare of the citizens. You even said, look well to the state of your herds and look to the condition of your sheep and your flock. You said that yourself. And you are the good shepherd. Therefore, be jealous over your people for your own name's sake. And keep, Holy Father, through your own name and for your own name's sake, all of those who have trusted in you and those who are in this room today and those who are listening today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And we invite anybody who may yet be outside the benefit of this, the benefits of this kingdom, who may yet be outside the scope of this kingdom. You know, come on in. Hallelujah. Come through the door, who is Christ. He indeed is the key to the kingdom. But once you come in, then you begin to get the keys of the kingdom, one of which we are speaking again about today. Knowing how his name is over all in his kingdom. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and glory because you will never let that name and the fame of it, the renown of it, you will never let it be dragged into the mud. The Lord will fight for his own name. The Lord will arise, bestir himself, be jealous over his own name in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.